The Holy Gospel this morning is from Matthew chapter 3. At that time, Jesus arrived from Galilee and came to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to make him change his mind. "I ought to be baptized by you," John said, "and yet you have come to me." But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so for now. For in this way we shall do all that God requires." So John agreed. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. Then heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and lighting on him. Then a voice said from heaven, "This is my own dear Son, with whom I am pleased. This is the gospel of our Lord." Well, we are in, again, the season of Epiphany. And as Pastor Naomi said at the very beginning of the sermon, at the beginning of the service, that an Epiphany is a revelation. It's something that's often meant to inspire us. And in this Epiphany season, we celebrate that God has been revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And yet, in this time after Christmas, in the time after all the hustle and bustle and the festivities of that season, Epiphany can feel very much like an ordinary time. That we get back into our routines, and we can often feel very uninspired. So I'd like to offer to you a broader definition of an epiphany. An epiphany is any encounter with God that changes and shapes us. So what I'd like to do this morning is briefly look at each of our three lessons again and offer to you what I believe is an epiphany in each of these texts, and I believe that these epiphanies build on one another. And even more than that, these epiphanies, these encounters with God, have the power to shape and change us in our very ordinary lives. So let's begin again with the gospel, and you're welcome to look in your bulletins as we go through. In this first Sunday after Epiphany, each year, we hear the story of Jesus' baptism. This year we hear from Matthew, next year again from Mark, and then we're back to Luke. Each of these accounts, just in general, in their gospels are very similar, and in their accounts of the baptism as well, they are. But when there are differences, it's important to note. So what I'd like to do is just note one difference between Mark and Luke versus Matthew. In Mark and Luke, at the very end of the passage, when the voice from heaven speaks, it says to Jesus, "You are my son, with you I am well pleased." But in Matthew, it's just a little bit different. It says, "This is my son, with whom I am well pleased." Now, I think they're all trying to say the same thing, but I think what Matthew is trying to make even more clear to us is that we are all a part of this epiphany of who Jesus is. And so the first epiphany here, meant to be heard by us all, is that we are all meant to know who Jesus is, that Jesus is God's son, God's special servant in the world, and this is the basis for all other epiphanies to follow. So I'd like to turn now to the first lesson in Isaiah. And this will connect back to our gospel reading in just a moment, but I want to offer just a few words of background on Isaiah. Isaiah was not actually probably spoken or written just by one figure at one point in time. The book of Isaiah was written at least three different times in history. Three different times by at least three different figures. And what we get today from chapter 42 is what's known as 2nd Isaiah. Now this was not just an ordinary time, this was a very difficult time for the people of Israel. They had been recently defeated in war on their own home soil by the Babylonians, and then they had been taken into exile, many of them, to Babylon, and they were away from their homes. They had suffered the trauma of loss in war, loss in relationship, and so they had questions. In the midst of these questions, maybe chief among those was, does God still love us? Does God still care for us? And maybe even, if they were being honest, is God even real? I think we can relate to these kinds of questions. And so in the midst of that, God speaks a word of promise and comfort. So let's hear again verse 1 from this passage. The Lord says, "Here is my servant whom I strengthen, the one I have chosen, with whom I am pleased. I have filled him with my spirit, and he will bring justice to every nation." Now, because we can hear this echo, this line of, "with whom I am pleased," we automatically, probably, those of us who are Christians, hear this in reference to Jesus. And that's entirely fitting. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of Scripture in our Christian perspective. And yet, to people who were 500 to 600 years before Jesus, I'm not sure that that would have been enough. I think what they also needed to hear was that God was with them in that particular moment. And so these words have often been understood within the Jewish community to represent the servant as the whole nation of Israel. Because Scripture is a living word that speaks into times at the present. So with that in mind, I'd like to offer our second epiphany, that this word can also speak to us today. That you and I, through baptism, are also this servant about whom Isaiah is speaking. We are the servant through baptism that God has strengthened, that God has chosen, and God is pleased with you and me. And we also know that we are then, because of baptism, sent out into the world to bring justice to every nation. Or as it says at the end of verse 6, we are to be a light to all nations as we celebrate in baptism every time. So the second epiphany here, given that this is a living word, is that we are all God's servants. We can see that on the screen again. We are all God's servants, loved and chosen by God to participate in God's mission to the world. So you can see how we are developing along in our epiphanies. First, that we are all meant to know who Jesus is, and then who we are. We are all God's servants, loved and chosen by God. Well, then that brings us to our second lesson. And this one will also complement our other lessons. Acts 10 is really the turning point in the story of Acts. It's really the turning point in the story of the early church. And it all began in a very ordinary day in the afternoon with a nap. Peter was up on a rooftop taking a nap, and he has a vision. And I'm not going to go into that vision. That's another scripture reading for another day. But meanwhile, while he's having this puzzling vision he does not understand, a non-Jewish person, a Gentile, Cornelius, also has a vision. And they don't quite understand it until God brings them together. Now you have to understand that up to this point, Peter and many of the other followers of Christ believed that the gospel was only for the Jewish people. And so this was a significant epiphany for Peter. When these two meet, Peter says these words in the beginning of our reading. "I now realize that it is true that God treats everyone on the same basis. Those who fear him and do what is right are acceptable to him, no matter what race they belong to." It's not enough for Peter to have this vision. It's not enough for Cornelius to have this vision. It's not about knowledge. It's that the two come together and start to form a relationship. And I'd like to go one step further where I think this epiphany reaches us today. And that is that Peter's first words, "I now realize," could be translated as, "I am now realizing." That this epiphany is something ongoing. And so our third epiphany is that epiphanies are ongoing, everyday experiences of God made real in our experiences and relationships with others. So again, these epiphanies, number one, we are all meant to know who Jesus is. Number two, we are all God's servants, loved and chosen by God to participate in God's mission. And then what makes all of this real are these everyday experiences and relationships with one another and with our neighbors. So I've been thinking about these epiphanies this week, and I've been thinking about my own life, and I invite you to do the same. But over the last 4.5 years of being in seminary, I think that these words speak true to me, that I've had many different everyday and ongoing epiphanies. And many of these epiphanies have happened by learning new information, but that all becomes real in my relationships with all of you and with my relationships with my classmates, everyday interactions. Now, Luther Seminary has students from all over the country and all over the world. And my everyday epiphanies have happened because of how diverse these students are. These are students of all sorts of social and economic backgrounds, of all sorts of political persuasions, of different genders, of course, of different sexual orientations, of all sorts of races. And I have been regularly humbled, and I have been regularly inspired by hearing what God is doing in their lives. We are a diverse group, and yet God has called us all to have this epiphany, these ongoing epiphanies in our relationships, to see what God is up to in our lives. So I think it's actually fitting that this season of Epiphany falls at such an ordinary, maybe even uninspiring time, because Epiphany is the stuff of every day. And I think it's fitting that our gospel today is about Jesus' baptism, which reminds us of our own baptisms, because like Epiphany, baptism is the stuff of every day. We are called to daily remember our baptism. We are called daily to die and rise with Christ. We are called to die to sin and the narrowness with which we often can live in our own little worlds. And we are called to rise with Christ, to be turned outward to God and to our neighbor, and we are called into these daily relationships. And so, I leave you with this thought. May God regularly surprise and inspire you and me with a love so great that it just has to be shared. And may the living out of our baptismal calls lead us to have everyday epiphanies in our relationships with one another and the diverse people of this community and world. Thanks be to God. Amen.